and extend that respect to any Aboriginal people present.
Thank you.
And as always, councillors, I'll remind you that, and members of the public gallery, that this meeting is being webcast, so people should refrain from making any defamatory comments. And if you have a mobile phone with you, could you ensure that it's switched to silent, please? So do I have a paper agenda to follow? Should have been one on the desk. Ah. All right, well, I'll call now for apologies.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This evening we have received one apology from Councillor James Angel. But for the record, I need to note that Councillor Trevor Ballingarry, Councillor Martin Ballingarry and Councillor Susan Jenby are not present at this point in time.
Thank you. And disclosures of interest. Are there any disclosures?
No, there's not.
None? There are no questions with notice. So councillors will go straight to item 4.2. And you'll have that as a late report. If someone would like to move. Moved Councillor Wilson, seconded Councillor Buchanan. Is there any discussion?
It's a typo, but I'll speak to it when you...
Now's the time to speak to it, yeah. Councillor Jones. It's been moved and seconded. The correction to moat.
Yeah, Madam Mayor, I just congratulate the people who've made submissions, and I think it's important. We've discussed this process at length, and I've mentioned before one of my criticisms of it is that it's challenging to have community engagement, because it is a sort of a document that can be a bit dry if you have a choice between, you know, reading a novel and reading the strategic plan. So congratulations to all the people who've made a submission, and I think it's important that we sort of recognise, and admittedly we've only just had a chance to have a look at the Scott's Head submission, but the thing that strikes me about it, rather than going into detail, is that these are the things that are very, very important for that community. And I think that there's a sense we get sometimes in local government that you know, people are behaving like NIMBYs. But I think that's... everyone should be behaving as if that bit of land is their backyard. That's how we should be operating. That encouraging that sense of ownership and that sense of what's important for the local community. If we're removing, or if we're not providing the... meeting the challenges in one area, well, that community is being impacted. So just in brief, I'd like to congratulate all the people who submitted. And again, it weren't a huge number when you consider the importance of this document, but I just thought I'd mention that. Thank you.
Okay, so I'll take it that you were speaking in support of the motion. Is there any other discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. And, of course, councillors, when we actually get to the budget and you've got over the next week to consider these submissions in more detail, I know they were part of a late report, so there is the possibility, if anything comes out of that hasn't been included already by staff or isn't updated in the final report, you have that opportunity. But otherwise, we'll be adopting these plans tonight. So... I need to put that. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Item 4.1. I need someone to actually move something so that we can discuss it. I'll move the recommendation for discussion. Seconded Councillor Wilson. Thank you. It's open for discussion.
Have a go.
Councillor Jones.
I mean, the only thing I was going to ponder was whether we could break it up and maybe talk about the different things, because there were some things I thought I might mention around this strategic plan. There's some things around the delivery program, operational plan, resourcing strategies, fees and charges. I don't know if anyone has an appetite to break it up or
Well, it's already been moved and seconded as one. That's sort of the problem. The motion we have on the floor is the lot.
Okay, right. Well, look, I'll speak to it.
Is it questions or...?
No, it's, again, it's on that theme. I'm going to vote in favour of the motion, but I'm going to maybe outline some of the concerns I have around the process and around the sort of the context of the whole process. Talking about the community strategic plan for the next 10 years. And when we look at this document here, it could, you know, I don't mean to be critical of people, it's the nature of the beast, but the problem I have with it is the lack of engagement. We've just been congratulating people who have engaged, and I know this is, it's very, very hard, but maybe we need to focus around how do we actually engage our community in a meaningful way where there is large participation. And I know it's very, very difficult, but we're talking about the future of our community and the future of the Shire, the future of the council, sorry. And the next 10 years, I think, are going to be times of unique challenge. I'm talking about the strategic plan, but if I can just flip to the budget, I strongly believe that our budget, the overall framework and the way the state government are sort of framing things at the moment almost make it impossible for local government to be financially viable in the medium to long term.
In what respect?
The costs are going up far greater than we have an opportunity to increase our revenue base, for one.
Well, that's not so much the budget, that's the rate pegging set by the state government, so...
I think that all fits in to that. You know, we're looking at how are we going to do our operational plan, resourcing strategies, fees and charges. They all sort of link into that overall model. I just think we have difficulties with the overall model. Anyway, look, I'll go back to the community strategic plan. If we have a look on page... and again, I'm not being critical of people because I do tend to think that these documents are sort of produced... Probably there's... Shire officers across the state who are in the same boat. Maxwell is the, on page four. Maxwell is the administrative centre of the Nambucca Valley, providing the central retail, commercial and community services. Housing and jobs are also located at Nambucca Heads, Valla and Bowerville. The region has a strong economy based on tourism, agriculture and manufacturing. Competitive land prices and strong industry networks will create more jobs in a greater range of sectors. I don't mean to be nitpicking here, but this sort of highlights that when we say Maxwell's administrative centre and providing essential... I mean, Nambucca's nearly twice the size of Maxwell. It has some of those other things as well. Some of the community sectors that we're not mentioning here are our aged care.
Completely understand, but... I would point out to councillors that this came to us first before it went on public exhibition, and respectfully, I think that, you know, those sort of issues should have been resolved before it went on public exhibition, particularly if, you know, if councillors have recognised something. It now has to be adopted for the 30th of June, so to change it now... is something of an issue.
The point I'm trying to make, Madam Mayor, and maybe I'm not being clear enough, is I have difficulty with the whole process.
Yep.
The whole process is locking us into what I would consider to be a formulaic way of going about things. Next 10 years, I think, are going to be incredibly challenging for this Shire.
I'd agree.
And this... I don't want to have a go at this or the people who put it together. I'm saying that the framework that we are dealing within is a very small square box.
Yep.
And we're trying to stuff a round object into it. There's very little opportunity. This, if I could sum this up for me in two or three words, it'd be jobs and growth. This is the future of our community. We're going to go down this jobs and growth. We're sort of going to have this concept that we can continue on the way we were, that we're not faced by great challenges. Well, I disagree. I think we are faced by great challenges.
I completely understand, but the point that I was making was this was presented to us as elected members in draft form, and we've had 28 days respectfully, those comments and anything like that should have been fed back before tonight, and preferably before it actually went on public exhibition. We also had this before it went on public exhibition for the purpose of looking at it and seeing whether we felt as councillors that it was a document that we were satisfied with. And to be frank, if we weren't, we shouldn't have put it on public exhibition. In terms of the framework, I would agree with you. There is a very set box, but that's set in legislation of integrated planning and reporting. The community strategic plan, all of these plans have to go on public exhibition within a certain time frame, within certain dates. And those are, as I referred to in the workshop earlier, that wheel of integrated planning and reporting that applies to every council in New South Wales. I made the comment at the time that even having been on council for a long time, I still struggle sometimes with comprehending and having a clear picture in my mind of how all of the pieces fit together. I agree entirely with Councillor Jones in terms of, you know, the framework and the process, but I think in terms of that community strategic plan, that's our community strategic plan. If councillors weren't happy with it, you know, it should have been changed.
I'm not being clear enough. I'm struggling with getting my thoughts across here, because I agree with what you're saying. We're sort of agreeing with each other, but not agreeing with each other.
Yeah, I sort of thought that you were dissatisfied with the content of that strategic plan.
What I was trying to highlight is that the strategic plan, with the greatest deal of respect to it and everyone who's put it together, and I am going to vote for it, is probably very similar to a lot of other strategic plans across the state. It also shares another characteristic across the state. It doesn't have massive community engagement.
I'd agree, yeah.
That's the point I'm trying to make. How do we engage with our community to the point where the people who are concerned about their own local communities can come on board and share with us all of their community concerns across the council? And then you have a sort of mosaic where you have a better picture of what's going on. What are the concerns out there? Housing's a concern, we know that. We also know that tourism's contributing to housing, because half the people I talk to own two houses here. They've got Airbnb.
Yeah. I apologise, Councillor Jones. I thought you were saying that the strategic plan is deficient because it doesn't... I suppose you are saying that it doesn't highlight some of the issues and challenges we're going to face.
I think it's hamstrung. And,
yeah,
and
but I would remind you that we have just done our community survey, which according to all of the experts is, I think it was like something like 94% accuracy. The whole purpose of that community survey was to identify what matters were important, what services were valued, what services were important and valued and the community was satisfied with, and what were important and valued and the community was dissatisfied with. We were presented with that as councillors months ago. So if we're doing our jobs properly, we should have been looking at that, relating that, and this is what I mean about integrated planning and reporting. That's our job, to look at what the community told us in those surveys, and a lot of the issues that are in these submissions came out in those surveys as well. Things like drainage, flooding, connectivity, pathways and so forth. We had that opportunity to input that into our plan.
I agree with that. I thought the community survey was actually very valuable.
It's particularly valuable because we've done it every 3 years since 2007. So it actually allows us to benchmark where we've improved, and it also allows us to benchmark, and I noticed it in the last survey, it allows us to benchmark or to see changes in community attitudes. If you go back to, and I still have the copies of the 2000, and any councillor who's interested, they'd be on file. If you look at the things that were important in 2007 and what's important now, there's a significant increase in things like the environment, connectivity, mobility. People are more, they're more important now than they were in 2007. I'm just saying that, you know, we do get this information. Just because members of the community don't come and sit here or come and address council, like, you know, there's an element of they all have other things to do and lives to lead, and, you know, they've made submissions, they've done the survey, they email us as councillors. I mean, I get emails every single day of the week that tell me, you know, this is an issue for people, this is important to people. So, and I think the strategic plan, they're the things that we should be continually collating in our minds through our term as a council or through the year, and making sure that we capture those in the strategic plan. I think Mr. Sykes wants to make a comment.
Through the General Manager, we've actually used the outcomes from the latest community survey to inform the service review areas that we've chosen for the service review program that's in the delivery program. That's an adjustment to the delivery program.
I mean, the fact that water quality was the highest, you know, I thought was reinforcing your points around when people talk about water quality, they're not only talking about the stuff that comes out the tap, they're talking about the river. There's a lot of engagement in the community around the quality of the river and the erosion upstream and all the connected parts, and the people get that. You know, I was disappointed that the New South Wales Upper House moved away from Macquarie National Park, because we had 76% support for that, and it's, you know, there's huge tourism opportunities there and employment opportunities there. So,
well, I'll just make the comment that in 2004, as a new councillor, if you mention climate change, people roll their eyes at you, whereas now there is broad acceptance across our community that climate change is real and has impacts, and that we should plan, even if it's for the sake of erring on the side of caution, even those who are still undecided, generally, from the correspondence that I've had over the recent years, I don't think I've found anyone who doesn't actually think, well, just in case the science is right, we should be inputting or considering climate change in all of our plans, whether it be for development, growth, whatever. Whereas 2004, was a very different attitude. And that's what I'm saying. Our community's views do change over a period of time. And that's something that we should be receiving as councillors every day throughout the year in terms of the people that we engage with. But, the survey helps. And look, I'd be happy to hear anyone who's got any ideas how we can better engage. You know, we do, I know it's quite formal, but we do now have a social media page. We do have a website now. Again, 2004, council didn't have a website. You couldn't even go to the website and look at it. And probably two-thirds of the community didn't have internet connection to be able to access it, whereas that's been a... And some, in fact, quite a few, still don't. So, anyway, is there any other discussion, or are there any questions on any of these plans? I guess that's the most pertinent part before we consider adopting this. Oh, wow. Okay. I did have a few questions, because we're on what is listed as 4.1. It's page 4. So is everybody able to open that? This was your original agenda. That's a motion that's been moved. And there's a rather large report there. Did anybody have any queries? Oh, I don't believe this. I have lost my annotations. They're gone. Yeah, but that hasn't got my notes on it. Well, they were there at 3 o'clock this afternoon before I came into the council meeting. Okay, I did have some questions, and I'll, if you'll, is, does anybody else have any, or has anyone else noted anything while I try to find? Oh dear. I had a number of things highlighted through this and some questions. Oh, one of them was this overview of the sewer fund. The major planned capital expenditure includes $3 million. Sewerage services infrastructure capital works South Maxwell urban release sewerage pump. This $3 million, is this developer contributions? I mean, if it's not, why are we paying for $3 million for a sewer pump or for sewer pumps, plural, that are part of an urban release? Shouldn't that be the developer covering that cost? South Maxwell is a new area. It's not like part of it is an upgrade for the existing network. Oh, sorry, I didn't give that. It's on page 8, under overview. It's at the bottom of the page.
Through the General Manager, Madam Mayor, in the attachment to do with the budgeted capital expenditure, last page, that $3 million is listed.
Yep.
And it's got it listed as being $1.7 million funded from Section 64 Developer Contribution Reserve.
Yep.
And $1.3 million from the Sewer Reserve. I believe it was done that way because after funding that $1.7 million, the sewer reserve is just about, the Section 64 reserve is nearly exhausted.
Why is there anything coming out of that reserve? Why is it not 100% funded? Because it's a new release area. I understand that where there's an existing system and a developer's adding another 20 blocks, you know, you can only expect the developer to fund. There's got to be a nexus between creating the need. So if he's creating a need for 20 blocks worth, but South Maxwell urban release is a whole new. Can anyone enlighten me there?
Well, it's the only. Through the General Manager, Madam Mayor, it's the only project from sewer fund that's funded from Section 64, and yeah, that's because taking into account the projected reserve balance at 30th of June 22 plus contributions coming, projected contributions in 22-23, that's the estimated balance available to be used from Section 64.
So you're saying the whole lot is being developer funded?
Correct.
Oh,
No, the whole lot of the Section 64 reserve is being utilised. So it's still giving a shortfall of 1.3 million.
Well, again, this goes back to exactly what I was talking about this afternoon in our workshop. How do we have a shortfall if we have adequate asset management plans in place? How have we got, what did you say the shortfall was at this point in time?
$1.3 million is being funded. $1.3
million? Sorry, I'm getting... Can anyone tell me why we had a shortfall of $1.3 million?
Yep. Madam Mayor, I would assume that's coming back to the IWCM and the strategic business plans, not
and it might
properly
have something
allowing for the developer contribution charges.
And you reminded me of another thing. That was one of the questions that I had listed. Like, I noticed on the attachments we have all the asset management plans, and from memory, the water and sewer asset management plans are marked to something like March or May 2022. They were like 5 years old. But we adopted, updated and adopted our IWCM, I think it was at some point last year, about November. Did it back to front, in my view. Like, the IWCM... And again, this is my understanding of the integrated planning and reporting and how all of these documents and plans fit together. The IWCM is essentially a 30-year capital works program for water and sewer.
Yep.
And that is the document that then dictates or feeds or informs what our water and sewer charges on our rates and charges should be and what our developer contributions should be. So what we're saying is that the developer contributions that we have received and expect to receive are going to be $1.3 million short of actually providing the infrastructure that's necessary. And as I said, we adopted a new IWCM and then after the event updated our asset management plans. So can anyone tell me why that was done that way around and why we didn't do the asset management plans first before we... Having said that, I'm guessing this goes back over a number of years, yeah. The fact that the contributions have not been enough.
Contributions have increased as well, yep. So they've gone up to 28,000 total. They used to be about 12, so...
But they should actually reflect the actual cost of providing the infrastructure, you know. I mean, if that happens to be a lot of money, I mean, put it this way, if the developer doesn't foot the bill, the rest of the ratepayers do.
Yeah. Blocks of land
someone's
got
to pay for it.
Blocks of land have gone up fairly appreciably as well. I mean, I think you're on a rich seam here, and it's one of the... That's why I wanted to talk about it in different sections, but seeing how we've arrived at this point... Standard of infrastructure required by the state government's gone up. For instance, the sewerage... works now have a far higher standard, what you can discharge, etc., the whole thing, that costs more. The cost of infrastructure has gone up more. At a briefing recently, we had the sort of round figures that the last time we upgraded the Nambucca one and put 10,000, a capacity of 10,000 cost us about 20 million. To do 5,000 now would cost us more than that. Yep. Mm. Scott's Head, if we do anything to the Scott's Heads, as in increase it, it would have to go to a higher level of standard, which is going to cost a lot more.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is exactly right. And this is one of the key points. This is where it's a bit more nuts and bolts, but we really need to drill down into the cost of this future infrastructure, and we need to get 100% recovery from the people who are in these areas and the developers who are working in them.
But... I totally agree, but the point that I'm making is that wheel, and you spoke earlier about this complex framework that we have to work within. Part of that framework is, in terms of the financial systems, that framework is designed to do exactly that and make sure, like that report, one you referred to about the costs of upgrading for 5,000 people, all of that came out after... We adopted an IWCM last year. My understanding is for fees and charges and developer contributions, it's the IWCM that we have to use. We can't use an updated asset management plan that we did in March. Is that... Can anyone... Yeah, Mr... Through the General Manager, I think Mr Walsh is the appropriate person. Is it the IWCM that we have to use for... developer contributions and fees and charges?
Through the General Manager, Madam Mayor, yes, that's correct. The IWCM informs the developer servicing plans that we work off.
Okay, so if the IWCM that we used or updated and adopted last year was based on old asset management plans that have now in March or May, it is attached to this document, now been updated... basically currently charging on those old figures.
Madam Chair, I might take that one. So you'll see in your agenda items there under Scenario 1,
yep.
Page 6 of 8. So this was identified early by the finance staff and they have put an increase. It says the income yield from sewage access charges and user charges have been indexed by 5% for 22-23. So... and then an assumption of indexation 2.5 for the year following. So that shortfall has been identified in...
Well, I read that, but is that indexing, is that just a CPI indexing from what we adopted last year, or is that indexing an update because we've woken up that the asset management plans hadn't been updated for 5 years? Is the indexing to cover just CPI and inflation or whatever... or is the indexing because we actually identified that we hadn't input current and up-to-date financial figures into the IWCM we reviewed last year?
Through the General Manager, Madam Mayor, no, it wasn't based on the asset management plans. It was purely a CPI indexation.
That's how I interpreted it. But, yes, so what we've done is CPI index 5-year-old figures we used in the IWCM.
No, the index through the General Manager, Madam Mayor, the index, 5% index, is the charges indexation.
Yes, but
It was indexed based on the 21-22 fees and charges.
Okay, but those fees and charges are based on an IWCM.
Some point through the General Manager.
Yes.
Yes, Madam Mayor, at some point in time they were based on an IWCM.
That IWCM was updated last year, but the asset management plans used to update it were last year at least 4 years old from memory.
Yeah. Through the General Manager, Madam Mayor.
Despite them saying that they're going to be updated annually.
Through the General Manager, Madam Mayor, I can't speak to that. That's an engineering services response that's required. I'll just bring to your attention on page 10 of the operational plan, delivery program and long-term financial plan, the assumptions regarding developer contributions, the estimates for Section 64 contributions are based on the average of the 3 years from 18-19 through to 2021. So it's a fairly conservative estimate. So based on what we've been seeing the last couple of years, the trend would be that if you look at 2021, it was up for... So I think it said there's 752,000, so it's been increased in the last couple of years. So I believe that's a fairly conservative estimate that's in the budget.
So what you're saying here is developer contributions are being based on averages previous years.
Yes, of the previous 3 years, 2018-19.
Didn't Mr. Walsh just say that the developer contribution should be based on the IWCM, not...
Through the General Manager, Madam Mayor, that's the yield, not the actual charge that I'm talking about.
Okay, I'm with you, yep. So, yeah, but the yield is determined by the charge. So if the charge was wrong to begin with, the yield could be significantly less than it should be, which may well explain why we now have a $1.3 million shortfall.
Through the General Manager, it's determined by both the charge and the level of activity, obviously.
Well, I won't labour the point any further, but I think that what this does tell me is we may need to review our IWCM yet again, even though we did review it last year, because I note attached to this business paper is updated water and sewer asset management plans only done in the last couple of months.
Through the General Manager, Madam Mayor, we've just recently had a review of our best practice dividend for sewer completed, and one of the recommendations that came through that review was a review of the strategic business plan.
Okay. So, like, I know people have got a lot of workload, but these sort of things cost. Not being on the ball with these sort of things come with significant costs, so maybe, you know, some priorities have to change.
Okay. Can I just extend the point you're making here? When we look at the South Maxville issue with the $3 million, you have to remember that there are downstream costs there around the existing infrastructure. It brings forward the need for maintenance or replacement. So we're not even capturing any of the downstream. And when we look at future... And we've seen this in other areas, and I won't name it, I don't want to bore people too much, but we've seen this in other areas where it's as if we haven't grasped the fact that when you plug in another 500 or 5,000 houses, all the infrastructure back to the sewer works, and the sewer works have a higher load, maintenance increases, and their replacement time comes forward towards you. So... You know, it's not as simple as just plugging in a new area if we don't have all of these downstream considerations. You also have the upstream considerations, all the water coming down, all the services coming. You know, we need to have a full cost recovery on these things, not just a sort of a minimal cost.
Well, anything that's not a full cost recovery from developers becomes a cost to ratepayers.
Right.
Another question I had, this one was also relating to sewer, so we may not have anyone here. The other major capital expense for sewer was sewer main relining of $200,000. I may, through the general manager, ask whether any staff member is able to tell me how many metres of relining does $200,000 give us?
That'll notice, I think. Okay.
The reason that I'm asking is that I think all councillors are aware that, even though they're under the ground, we've got some significant issues with sewer pipes. We've had sewer surcharges, spills. We've got, what do you call them, improvement orders in relation to sewerage on council. We've had, I think we've actually had a couple of EPA fines, in relation to sewer spills. So I'm just curious as to how much $200,000 gives us. Like, councillors will recall I asked for a copy of the network. That was another reason I wanted to see that, to just get an idea of just how many metres of underground pipe, because it's one of those things out of sight, out of mind. But it's the out of sight, out of mind things that none of us tend to want to, or, you, well, you just don't spend money on it because you, it's not in your face every day that this needs maintenance or repair. I just wanted an idea. So, well, I just hope that $200,000 is an adequate contribution to that. Just trying to think what else there was I had highlighted in this. Oh, that was another question. I note that Mr. Sykes just explained that the review areas, if I can find that again, the service review plan. I note that Mr. Sykes explained that that came from the customer satisfaction survey. One of the things that I would raise as being important, and it wouldn't be something that customers are actually aware of, so it probably didn't, you know, wouldn't have come out of the customer service, the customer survey, again, is water and sewer service levels there. Because councillors, the thing that rang alarm bells, you recall not too recently we had a report and an explanation about there being significant issues in Barrowville relating to water pressure that apparently are right across Barrowville, and that the pressure is not sufficient to run the fire hydrants. And I read this, I just thought, if you look at the main street of Barrowville, every building is almost on, they're all timber. A fire in one building could well spread through, and a lot of them are heritage, you know, you wouldn't want to lose those buildings. If we have a major problem with water pressure in Barrowville, I would have thought that that's important to look at as in terms of a service review. The service, obviously the service we're providing the town of Barrowville is under standard water pressure that doesn't meet New South Wales Fire and Rescue requirements. So should that be updated? Or I don't know whether it should. If I can ask the general manager to... any staff can respond?
Madam Mayor, my recollection is when we did the schedule for the service review, that the water and sewage business would be a separate entity and undertake their own. Is that right, Mr. Sykes?
Through the general manager, no, they were actually, in our initial discussions as senior staff, they were listed as an item to review, and we pulled it out in favour of those other items to align with the community survey.
They weren't mentioned in the community survey.
No, but the community wouldn't be aware that the water pressure across Barrowville isn't what it ought to be. So the question I want to ask is, should we be changing this now and adding, or at least the water pressure in Barrable, or is that something that can be dealt with separately? I mean, how do we...
Yeah.
This goes through to 2026, and I'm sort of thinking, you know, we probably need to do something...
Through the General Manager, Madam Mayor, we could add it, but I'd suggest that we take something else out. I've been to service review training provided by a consultant that undertakes service reviews, and they've suggested that you don't bite off more than you can chew, because service reviews are quite onerous in their resourcing, and they've suggested probably 3 to 4 services be reviewed per annum. So water and sewer being fairly large services, I would suggest that we pull out some other services that are listed and we consider the year in which they're going and what other services are going to be reviewed in that year along with the water and sewer.
Okay, but the question I'm asking is that a water and sewer service review would be all of water and all of sewer right across the Shire. Would I be better off leaving this alone but asking that or doing a notice of motion to a council meeting that the water pressure at Barrable be specifically investigated and perhaps funds allocated in a budget review if the investigation... I just don't want to leave Barrable in that situation.
Yeah.
You know, this goes till 2026.
Through the General Manager, if that's the targeted area that you wish to address, then I would think that's a more pragmatic approach to rather than doing a full-scale review, because as mentioned, they're quite onerous, the service reviews.
Well, that's the one I'm aware of. For all I know, water pressure could be a problem somewhere else too. At Scott's Head.
Through the General Manager, we could adjust the delivery program going forward for these service reviews. So I believe that as a result of doing that targeted investigation, there's a need to bring in water and sewer as a wholesale review, then that could be done.
I'll leave it alone for now on the basis, too, that if we had Mr. Spain here, he might be able to give us more information. And okay.
Could I ask a question? On page 10, the major changes to LTFP, transfer of Valor Employment Lands industrial commercial proceeds in general fund into land development reserve to purchase new land. We have proceeds from the...
It's through the General Manager. That's we're hoping to get proceeds, but following recent meetings with the relevant grant bodies, it's not likely to happen in the near future.
I'm concerned about us selling any of that before it's sellable, if you know what I mean.
It's developed, yes.
Yeah, because the liabilities would be astronomical if we started, if we sold it before they could move on to it.
There will be a report to the 30th of June meeting to discuss this.
Right, thank you. I also had a query about the attached asset management plans, and I made mention of this afternoon in the workshop. The infrastructure, other infrastructure, other structures. It doesn't have sort of the same date system. And it says, this draft report has been prepared for educational purposes only as part of undertaking a professional certificate in asset management planning. The data and conclusions have not been reviewed for accuracy nor endorsed or adopted by the organisation. Is that because we cut and paste this from an IPWEA document, or is that the case that council hasn't endorsed this and it's not accurate, or not endorsed for accuracy?
Yes, through the General Manager. Yeah, I believe it's just a template where there was a disclaimer that should have been taken out that hasn't been.
Okay, so... And again, the question I raised this afternoon was just in the attachments, the appendices, I think it was. And sorry, because I've lost my annotate. Well, you can't annotate attachments, but I did have a note on the main report. I couldn't see any reference to the Deep Creek footbridge, the Valla footbridge at Valla Beach. So is there something in there that is that footbridge that missed or haven't understood the there's a list and values of all of the infrastructure and on the attachments. There's the 10-year renewal forecast summary, and it's not listed anywhere on that. There's a whole range of these tables in here that it's just got zero in everything. Example, maintenance forecast summary, other structures, maintenance forecast 2022 right through to 2041. Maintenance forecast columns got zero in every column. Additional maintenance forecast, zero in every column. Total maintenance forecast, zero in every column. It's presumably maintenance forecast for all of our other structures. Is this...
Through the general manager. What's that saying is that we're not predicting an increase in the number of other structures. The maintenance shouldn't change.
I just looked at it, says, you know, the table heading says maintenance forecast summary, other structures. These were put on public exhibition?
Yes.
A member of the public looking at that, when they see maintenance forecast summary 000 through till 2041, it's going to, I think, interpret that we're not going to spend any money on maintenance. On page 48, there's nothing in terms of there's gaps, and you know there's sort of like a template year operation forecast additional, and nothing in it. It's on Appendix B. Page 47, zero in everything. That's the acquisition forecast summary, other infrastructure. Page 47, can you see that? Is that supposed to be zero in everything?
Through the general manager, yes, I believe that there's no planned acquisitions at this stage.
What about our grant-funded projects? They're going to be acquisitions, and they're going to have to be capitalised. Like the seawall and boardwalk and...
Some of them would be renewals, so they're not acquisitions.
Well, the seawall, $3.6 million worth of new assets.
It may be in other structures, not other infrastructure.
This is other structures.
There's different portfolios within this plan, so I'll have to check that.
Can you just clarify the seawall, sorry, Madam Mayor, through you? Seawall, is it renewal or is it a new?
Seawall would be a new asset, yes.
Isn't the old one that's there?
There isn't one there. That was my point. It's
Through the General Manager, Madam Mayor, the seawall is a 21-22 budget project, so it should be shown in the AMPS in the 21-22 year, if that year's disclosed there.
Not in the future years. Okay. Well, anyway, I think that particular asset management plan, someone needs to have a look at it because it looks as though it might have just been pretty much a cut and paste at the last minute. without anyone proofreading what's been pasted.
But in fairness, it's a bit hard to get the crystal ball out that far into the future.
That's exactly what this asset management plan is supposed to do, though. It's supposed to...
We don't know what grant plans... Sorry,
no. Oh, well, that's right. We don't know, but...
Look, completely understand that, but this is other infrastructure, other structures, and if you read the list that it's supposed to cover, it's everything from boardwalks to... We have a truckload of these things. I cannot believe that until 2042, none of them are going to require 1 ounce of maintenance, as well as we do have grant funding for a number of things that we know very well are going to be added to our capital register or to our asset registers.
There is a bit in there about renewal. I take Fitzsimmons' comment there. There is forecast renewal, forecast maintenance, et cetera. So, but, you know, I think the point is, again, it highlights the difficulty we have as an overall organisation when we confront these future challenges, because we're being hamstrung in one area. We've got our hands tied behind our back, and we've got increased, you know, demand from a community that deserves to have the best. So there we are.
Okay, well, I think I'll give my list of questions a miss. No one else has any questions?
I just think we're looking at something, we're complicating it far too much. Looking at budgets, you're looking at possibilities, and that's what, I mean, as Clint said earlier on, they're not up to speed yet. They need another two staff before they can do a lot of this stuff. So you can't expect us to be right on the ball with everything. The whole idea of this, I think, is from an accounting point of view, and that's why we've got to be really conscious of what we're doing from an accounting point of view more than from a budget point of view. The budget point of view is very good for us as a tool in management. It's really what we've got to do legally, and this is what they're trying to get up to speed with.
I understand that, and I think in the last maybe 2 years at least, there's been some excuse, but the integrated planning and reporting requirements didn't just pop up in the last 2 years. This requirement for these asset management plans, we've had at least 6 years. The very fact that we haven't got, even if it's outdated, but a completed other structures asset management plan after at least 6 years, and it's a requirement of our integrated planning and reporting, I'd personally have some concerns about. And I would remind councillors that when our Audit, Risk and Improvement Committee did have a close look, only admittedly a snapshot, but looked at our asset management planning, you'll recall the general response they came back with, and it was that there was room for significant improvement. So I'm just highlighting the fact that these things really do need to be given some sort of priority, and we really got to... Because all of the things... You're quite right, Councillor Wilson, this is about our budget and our long-term financial planning. But they are all based on asset management plans, and the more accurate, I know we're never going to have them perfect, and I know things are going to happen. You know, I'm not going to try to predict when white ants might get into a timber structure, or we all know things can happen that can go wrong, but we should be trying to minimise or have as accurate as possible plans so that we have some level of confidence in the figures we're using to go forward, whether it is in charging developers a contribution or whether it's planning our expenditure. You know, it's,
I agree 100%. Yeah. And I think where we get into it now is at a stage where we can rely more on our budgets, and that to me is what is important. I also think that, you know, we've had a, fairly difficult time over the last 6 or 7 years in that, you know, we've had changes in the engineering side, and there are bigger changes now. And that is one of the driving forces, because the accounting side, and Mr. Sykes is hamstrung to some extent by getting his values and his side of the... So you can't get one side of your books up to date without the others lagging to some extent. So I think basically, exactly. I feel comfortable where we are. I know that it's not an ideal position. I do believe that we've got to be careful of the money we spend and how we spend it. By the same token, I don't think we should be, looking at the eye hole of an igloo just because I don't think it's that bad a blizzard.
Mm. Having said that, I can't accept that something like the Valleyfoot Bridge that we've previously been told is, potentially around $3 million worth, just is not accounted for.
It has come up two or three times just very
exactly.
recently.
There's no excuse for that not being considered and not showing anywhere in plans till 2042, given the attention it's received. We're all aware of it. Anyway, as I said, I think I'll leave the rest of my list if there's any other questions anyone has or any other discussion. If not, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. There being no further business? I'll declare the meeting closed. Thank you all for your courtesy, your patience and your attendance.